This is Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brents.
Hello, hello. Thanks for coming back for another episode of Data Citizens Dialogues. As always, I'm Thomas Brents, host and vice president of portfolio marketing here at Calibra. As is the case with every episode in Data Citizens Dialogues, our team sits down with a member of our customer community and talks about their experience with Calibra. Now, in this installment, I had the privilege of speaking with Tom Friesen from Algonquin College. When we met, we had the opportunity to talk about his journey in governance, some of the challenges he's faced, the strategies he's leveraged to overcome them, and in general, his best practices and recommendations for success.
My name is Tom Friesen. I work at Algonquin College. We're a college of about 21,000 students in Ontario, Canada. I've been there for a while now as a data governance lead. Sometimes I'm the whole team. And with backgrounds of institutional research, BI, and database management.
That's awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why data governance is important to higher education?
Well, higher education in Canada is certainly undergoing a number of stresses right now, certainly for institutions that are relying on international students. Certainly, that's kind of a catalyst right now. But generally, like any organization, higher education needs governance because we're data rich. We have millions of students and programs and product offerings that really we need to get a hold on. We need to know what the data is, what it means, whether it can be trusted.
Well, you mentioned that word, so the catalyst being international students. What about maybe the catalyst for you? Why did you raise your hand for data governance? What's your background and how did that shape maybe your interest in governance or help you understand maybe better the need for governance in general?
Sure. Prior to my involvement in data governance, my role was in institutional research, and I would be participating in a number of cross-institutional studies to try to get to the heart of some of those key need-to-knows as far as student retention is concerned. How do we keep our students? What happens to them if they leave? And when I was participating in those, what I found is that it was really difficult not only to engineer the data, but way before that, to figure out what data we had. Where was it? What did it mean? To which standard did it conform to? Like, we've got industry codes, but what year did it conform to, or what version of industry codes? So well before data engineering, it was really a challenge just to find out where the data was and whether it could even be trusted.
Yeah. Is it any good? Can I make decisions off of this data? I think probably a common problem, whether it's higher education or, any of it vertical, right, is really sort of dealing with the same thing. Can I get my arms around this data? And when I do, can I actually trust it? Tell me a little bit about maybe some of the lessons learned from your experience of building this data governance program. And how do you ensure maybe the longevity of your program?
Well, I'd say one of the things that we found, or I should say I found in the process, is just because I think it's a really valuable initiative to embark on, if you don't have the buy-in from the rest of the institution or the key players, then you can build it, but they won't come. So whether it's an ERP migration that, of course, a number of institutions will take on over a period of time, or whether it's an initiative that's just a small, maybe departmental initiative, but it really hinges on the concept of governance, of responsibilities, process, and information. Those are the things that really need to be tackled. And one's personal wish lists don't always make it to the top, even though that the need might be seen evident to the person that's looking at it.
Sure. But you get some of the foundational stuff, I imagine. What's it, talk to me about that maybe a little bit. What does sustainable governance mean to you?
It's pretty key to my heart. I describe myself as being data governance lead, and I'm also sometimes the entire team. So when you've got 1,500 employees, and we've got the majority of those actually using the college platform of Calibra for the governance platform, it means that whatever I take on, whatever the governance program takes on, it needs to be done in such a way that it requires as little maintenance as possible and is self-driving for the people that are involved. So it means a lot more work on user interface. It means a lot more work on spin it up, get it going, communicate what's needed, and allow the people that are best qualified to run with it to go and really leverage the platform for maximal effectiveness. And then finally, it's about recognizing patterns too. The longer you work in an organization, the more patterns you recognize. And by recognizing those patterns, you can see that the need in one small area is likely going to be the need in others. And if you can address preemptively some of those other needs by addressing the one, then it just saves work down the road.
That's awesome. I can really tell, you know, you mentioned sometimes you're the team of one, right? This is a real passion project for this is like, you know, your life's mission here to do this work. Why don't you talk about some of the wins that you've had or that you've experienced since the start of the program? What are the things that kind of keep you going back for another bite at the apple?
Certainly. We've had a number of wins. Some of them are more difficult to quantify financially. Others are worth the effort in trying to say, okay, how much did we actually save? And in this day and age where any organization will be needing to scrutinize what are the efficiencies, how can we save some money here? One of the projects that we had was to govern the life cycle of policies, corporate policies at our institution. In doing so, we could address some of the key pain points of overdue policies for review, which were substantial. And we could also thereby actually have a centralized governed area for corporate policies, of which we've got over 130. Now, all of those are being governed within Calibra. And not only were we able to identify some pain points along the way as far as the process is concerned, and of course, you know, conforming to standardized business terms, but also we save 2 person years of effort every year by governing these policies in Calibra. That's significant. When you can save that much overhead in, for example, meetings, and that accounts, of course, with the time that people have to spend naturally, but now it's much smoother a process than it ever had been in the past.
So policy governance, Tom, tell me a little bit more about policy governance. It's not something we talk terribly much about here on the podcast. I'd love to know a little bit more about it.
Well, policy governance was one of those unconventional use cases that we have at the college. We were approached by the president's office, and they were having problems with ensuring that our corporate policies would be reviewed in a timely manner within the allotted period of time for the review, whether it's 1 year or 3 years or whatever. And they wanted to improve that. So one of the things that we were able to do is not only reduce the amount of time spent in reviewing these policies by the participants, but also we were able to reduce the number of policies that were not in compliance with our review period by 24%.
I would say that's certainly a big win. And you're right. Those are the kinds of measurables, like you said, that you can't get everything measured. And sometimes we go to lowest common denominator, did I improve the quality of the data, that kind of thing, but to actually quantify it out, to put it into people years, right? Things that are actually saved, time efficiency, right? That's really impactful for the business because we can't just always throw bodies at the problem, right? So tell me a little bit about how you actually measured that success. I'm sure there are listeners that would love to emulate that at their own organization.
One of the things that governance does is it's a pain in the butt, but you have to define the process. And when we took that initial process and said, what does policy governance look like? What do policy reviews look like? It's going through these six different committee bodies for review before it gets to final approval. Who's responsible for this? How do they participate? Because you have that exactitude on process, that allows you to say, okay, well, I know that this policy would have to go through this review and this review and this review. And that by and large, people will allocate this amount of time per policy in the reviews. And hopefully they won't go back, but whatever. And then you could actually we actually measured, for example, for the policies that were reviewed in Calibra, we correlated how many meetings would need to have happened outside of this with the full attendance of the participants. And then how long are people actually spending in Calibra to review it instead? And actually, we were able to calculate, okay, actually, we have saved 2-person years of effort in this by looking at the change in the way the process was implemented.
Wow, that's really impactful. And I can imagine some of the folks that would need to weigh in, what they're, paid by the hour, right, is sort of quantified. You could start to even get to some money savings on that as well, which is pretty fantastic. I love the fact that you went down that approach of really how much time can we save? How much can we really automate here and save folks' productivity? That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit of what's next for Algonquin around data governance. What are we working on next?
Sure. The college has been affected, like many other colleges in Ontario and Canada, by a squeeze of reduced funding and reduced access to international students. And this has caused a financial squeeze for most higher educational institutions in Canada. When you're in that situation, you need to look at what are the efficiencies that we can leverage so that we don't have to cut as many programs or cut as many people or cut at all. And I found governance to be a highly effective tool for identifying operational efficiencies. One of the other use cases is not so much the authors or the people that are creating information, but the consumers. How much time do we spend looking for information? How can we trust that the information is correct? When we're making strategic decisions on the programs that we offer, how can we really do that with the certainty that the numbers that we're using and, of course, then creating to guide our decisions, how do we know that that's correct and that we're leveraging them to the best possible use? So efficiencies and strategic inputs are key. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for operational efficiencies and governance. And I don't think necessarily that this is always the first thing that people look at.
And I can imagine that being, again, we used the word catalyst earlier, right? That could be a catalyst for prioritizing these efforts even higher. But let's talk in general. How do you prioritize some of the initiatives? I'm sure as you propagate out and promote that you saved, time and man hours, right, for policy governance, right, that other people are going to come to you for, can you take a look at my project? Can you take a look at my initiative? So how do you prioritize those a bit?
It really depends on the strategic direction of the institution. It has to align with what the institution's direction is. And if there's not that alignment, you might have the best idea in the world, but it's not going to gain traction. So in certain environments, you'll find that, you know, yes, we need to identify operational efficiencies. We need to maximize the value of people's time so that they're not spending time unnecessarily on this process or this process or this process. In other institutions, you might have a much more offensive use case, or even a defensive use case, you know, a risk of data breach. Like, can we reduce exposure? Can we reduce the cost of data breach associated? Can we reduce the data that we're hosting? For example, with retention policies, if we reduce the amount of data that we have, then if we are subject to a breach, of course, there's less information available for that. So there are a lot of opportunities, but it really depends on strategic direction of the institution.
The priorities. Nice. Well, let's talk about priorities, right? Where do you see the future going for data governance in higher education? What do you think will be new priorities in 5, 10, 20 years?
Certainly right now, the idea of operational efficiencies is first and foremost in my mind, and probably is foremost in the minds of the CFOs of educational institutions across the country. You've also got opportunities with artificial intelligence, and this is a great opportunity to supplement the value of the workforce with the value of things that can be done in much more automated ways through AI. But AI requires quality data, and quality data requires governance. And so if you've got bad data or ungoverned data, you're going to have really bad AI and ungoverned AI. And so it's going to be imperative for any institution out there to want to be making headlines in a good way and not a bad way, because there's an opportunity for both here. And you really need to lean on governance to get the data in a form that it can be used in AI responsibly and ethically, and with the confidence that what you're doing is what you want to be doing.
All right. I had a lot of fun talking with Tom. Great name, by the way. As we do with every episode, I wanted to take just a quick minute to talk about the big three things that I learned from our discussion. And first, even if you have limited resources, governance will drive operational efficiency. It doesn't take a lot to show immediate impact. Tom talks about sustainable data governance, especially when working with a small team like he had at Algonquin. Now, by creating low-maintenance, self-service governance processes within Calibra, Tom enabled college staff to do data governance independently. A standout win for Tom was the automation of corporate policy governance, which saved 2-person years of effort annually, showing that governance can drive real, measurable efficiencies. Second, institutional buy-in and strategic alignment are crucial for success. One of the most important lessons Tom shared is that governance initiatives won't succeed without it. Whether the effort is large scale, like an ERP migration, or department specific, success hinges on aligning projects with the institution's specific and strategic goals. Governance efforts must resonate with leadership priorities like cost savings and compliance or operational improvements to gain traction and support. Finally, data governance enables better decision-making in a time of financial pressure. With reduced federal funding, higher education institutions, just like Algonquin, are under pressure to find efficiencies. Tom positioned data governance as a strategic tool for improving data access, trust, and usability, especially for decision-makers evaluating academic programs or resource allocation. This supports not just compliance, but also smarter, data-informed decisions across the entire college. Now, whether you're at another university or you work in healthcare or transportation or financial services, the fundamentals that Tom shared with us are just good, solid, best practices that we can each take forward. Now, I truly thank Tom for those insights. And to each of you, thank you as well for joining me here today. I know that there's millions of podcasts that you could listen to, but the fact that you took a little time out of your day to join Tom and I, well, it means a lot. I hope you'll subscribe and join us for the next episode. And for Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Brents. Thank you for listening.
Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit Calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share? How about a 5-star review? At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.